10-minute speaker is Adam.
Adam!
Well, my name is Adam. I'm an alcoholic.
Adam.
And she was just asking me earlier if I was gone over like the times and you know whether in 2 minutes there's a card that goes up and in 1 minute there's another card that goes up. And I was asked to speak before at another meeting, and I was supposed to be the 15-minute speaker, and I lasted 5 minutes. And I went and I sat down. So I'll try my best up here. My son's in daycare over there. He's 5 years old, and you know, I'm a part-time dad, and mostly because of AA, and so this meeting's been real helpful for me. I appreciate this meeting because it gives me on the weekends. It gets long for me, having a 5 year old, and you know he runs all around, you know, and he really wears me out, and I get stressed out, you know, and I feel like sometimes this is a meeting I kind of take from, you know, occasionally. In some meetings I go to, I give to, you know, with commitments and stuff like that. But this is a meeting I come to take from. And except for tonight, I ended up giving a little bit. But I grew up up the street up here. I'm originally from this area, and I've done a ton of stuff around here, just growing up and acting like an idiot. And went to junior high up at Pershing Junior High School, and high school at Patrick Henry. And you know, when I was in junior high, I think I was about 14 maybe, got invited to, there was a Spanish class, a Spanish party, and I was invited and I could bring a guest. I brought my cousin, and before the party we went and we took a bunch of his dad's alcohol, and we filled up a little Evian bottle full, and we took two Hansen's orange sodas as chasers, and we mixed all the alcohol together. We went up on the Cowles Mountain right there, and we just drank it. We drank the whole thing. And I remember getting back to my cousin's dad's house, and I was like kind of feeling numb in my face a little bit. I'd never been drunk before. I started feeling numb my lips, my eyes. I was looking at him, and he was feeling the same way too, because he was kind of looking at me like, geez, you know, like. And like it was just starting to kick in a little bit, I think, at that point. And I remember I have a brief recollection of like the Spanish teacher like pulling me to the side at the party and like asking me to stand on one leg. And I remember asking my uncle to pull over so I could throw up. And I remember throwing up out of my window. I had a second story window at my folks' house up the street, and I was throwing up out of the window, and they're in the garage talking about me. The window hangs right over the garage, so they were, but I didn't even care, you know, like I had to get it out, and I just threw it up all over the place. And I was my dad made me play baseball the next day. I had a baseball game, and he put me out in, he was the coach, he put me out in center field, and I just sweat all day. I felt horrible. And I knew I was never going to drink again, ever. And, you know, I'm here tonight, so that's not the case. But I have a good family. I come from a good family. And I hear a lot of people talking about they felt, you know, less than or different than. And I never really felt like that. I always felt, not smarter, but, like, I felt like success was going to be dropped in my lap. You know, like, for some reason, for some strange reason, I always felt like everything was going to be okay. And I guess alcohol eventually ended up making a good day better, but not making like a bad day better. You know, like I always did it for that reason. And when I was about 19, I'd moved up to Los Angeles after high school, graduated high school and everything, moved up to LA. And you know, I said I went up there to kind of go to school and get a job and kind of like, you know, start my life. And really, I went up there to live close to my girlfriend. My girlfriend lived in Orange County at the time, and I went up there to live close to her. And it was really my first time being on my own. And there was a lot of time, you know, for me to like meet people and learn how to drink and learn how to do drugs. And for me, it really took off up there, real bad. Like to the point that after about 8 months living up there, you know, I had to call my mom and I tell her the truth. You know, I told her I'm messed up. I can't go to work. You know, I'm not going to school anymore, and I'm in my apartment, and I need to move out of here. I need help. I don't know what to do. And that was like the last like time I could really be truthful to people. And she brought me out of there. She got me out of there. She rented me a moving truck, came back down to San Diego, and threw me in Mesa Vista Hospital. And I stayed there, and I slept, and I ate for like 6 days straight. And after I woke up and got enough fluids in me and stuff, I was like pacing, you know, back and forth in the hospital, like in the corridor. And like the nurse, I was like telling them, I'm never drinking again. This is crazy. I'm never doing it again. And the nurses were like, you know, honey, there's some things you might have to do. And I'm like, you know, whatever, you know. And so I called my buddy Monkey. He came pick me up. And about 3 weeks later, I was right back on it again. And it just continued like that. And, you know, short little jail stints here and there, and in and out of like little rehabs here and there. You know, my family would put me in. And in 2005, I ended up getting a little bit more trouble, and I ended up going to a county jail for a year. And that really woke me up, because that's a long time to be in jail. I know there's people been in prison and stuff like that, but for me, a long time to be in jail is a year. That was like gave me long enough to like gain enough weight and like eat regularly and sleep regularly that like I knew like I had a serious problem. And so I got out of there, and I attended some meetings after I got out of there, and I had a kind of like a part-time sponsor who I would call every now and then, and I just really didn't know like what AA really was about, you know, like what the program really was about and what I'm really supposed to do here. And so basically I stayed pretty sober for a while, and I went to a commercial dive school, and I started diving and kind of traveling around, and it was killer, and I had a really good time, and I was still drinking. And but when I would come home after these jobs, like I could perform pretty good, like when I'm under someone's thumb, and that's kind of been the case for me. And that's what I would do. I'd get out to the job site, and I would just work my ass off for months, and make money, and then I would come home, and I would just like disappear, you know. Like if I didn't have someone on me, like I would drink and I would do drugs, and like I couldn't stop, until like another job came, or some type of like crazy like intervention like that. Like it had to be something that stopped me. I never was able to really just stop on my own, and that's always kind of been the case for me. So it's been kind of like in and out of AA, not really like, you know, just going to meetings really, just going to meetings and kind of saying hi to people. And Larry told me not to get up here and talk about sober softball the entire meeting, so I won't do that. I think after that kind of happened, and I went to Pathfinders. I went through Pathfinders Recovery Home. And I graduated that program, and I drank right after, you know, like I thought like, oh, I'm a Pathfinder, you know, I'm sober, you know, like, you know, I came to the elite house, you know, like maybe it'll, but that wasn't the case for me either. Like I've been missing something, like something's been missing. I just have not been hearing something, or I don't know what's going on. And that's kind of I think after that, and after drinking, after Pathfinders, I really wanted to stay sober. Really bad, really, really bad. I wanted to stay sober, and the problem for me is that I couldn't. And you know, that's from what I understand and what the book says. You know, that's the whole baffling feature of alcoholism, is wanting to stop and not being able to. And that's the case for me. And so at that point, I got a sponsor, and you know, I think what happens sometimes is sponsors around here, and I could see how it could happen for myself even now, or later on, as sponsors, they get beat up by newcomers, and they get people that flake on them, and they get people that, like, they say they're going to be there, and they don't show up, and this and that, and the sponsor I chose has had that happen to him a lot. Like, he told me, like, right away, I know how to shake a newcomer, you know, and I was like, but, like, the problem was, at that point, I wanted to get sober, man, real bad. I really wanted to get sober, And so he was like kind of shaking me, you know what I mean? And that's when that was my window. You know, that's when I needed the solution. And I couldn't get it from him because he was like, he had his own fear, you know? And about 7 months into that, I drank again for 5 days. And I didn't know what the hell to do. I was living with sober people and I was like losing my mind. And 5 days out there drinking, I was going nuts. But I really wanted to be sober. And my buddy told me at the time, he's like, you know, Adam, why don't you just come on home and bring some milk. Bring some milk. And he's like, here's what's going down, man. You're either going to go get sober in jail, you're going to go get sober in the Salvation Army, or you can go back into your room and go to bed and wake up and drink this milk and go to AA. And like, it didn't even dawn on me that was an option, you know what I mean? Like, that I didn't have to go to some crazy, like, lock-up place or whatever to get sober. You know, like, yeah, I got a bed this time. Wow, you know, it's amazing, you know. And so that's what I did. I went to bed, and I got a new sponsor. And my new sponsor has been awesome. And he took a lot of time with me. And if there's a lot of people new here, newer than me, and I'm new. But there's a lot of people that are real new here, and find a sponsor that's going to give you his time. You know, you guys, this thing's life or death, you know, and we kill people, we hurt people, and more than anything, we hurt ourselves. And from my experience, it's my duty to give a sponsee all the time I can, you know, because this might be their window. You know, this might be their window of sobriety. And for me to have fear and stuff like that, I think that's wrong. But I'm sober today. I'm grateful to be here, and thank you guys. Right on.